Hey, what up? This is Swamp Fiends. Yesterday I was playing another game of Lord Cooper. I've been playing that guy a decent amount, and I think I'm one win in like seven losses and or ties, something like that. He just really doesn't gel with me. So I was playing Jimmy, and I was playing Dreamer, and like I stitched together like one shot my Bataagi Huntsman again. So after that guy died for like the 20th time, I took my dry erase marker and I like drop kicked it like I was punting it across, a football field, something like that. So I was like, you know what? That's probably a pretty decent podcast topic. So let's talk about Tilt. I invited a couple of my buddies on, who I think are have had some Tilt experiences in the past. So that's what we're gonna chat about. So first of all, I got Dave on, and I think this is your third time, right, Dave?
Yeah, I think so.
How are you doing?
Good. I'm doing good. Not tilted today. I played my first game of Sheamus. It went super well, and Ed from Florida Fame played, and he did not tilt despite the fact that I shot all of his dudes' faces off. And so the counterexample of the way that I am unfortunately act.
Have like four stories about Ed not tilting. The first time I ever met him was at a Guild Ball tournament, and I was playing Ballista, who knocked down Shark, which is his captain, right? If you ever play that game, once you get knocked down, you just spend one momentum, you stand up. It's not that big a deal. Unless you can't generate momentum. And his team missed three passes to try and generate one momentum to get Shark to stand up turn one. And he didn't, so I won that game. It's like over turn one, which is like a 0.00000001 chance of happening.
Nice.
And he didn't tilt at all. So, in fact, he even to the end, he's like, "Ah, you should probably do it this way." You know what I'm saying? Like, dude's untiltable. So maybe I should have invited him on instead of
You don't need more examples of
myself. I
tilt. We
don't
need someone that actually knows
know.
the way of the non-tilt.
Yeah. And the second guest we got on is Craig from Third Floor Wars. I'm sure if you listen in here, you probably listen to that. How you doing, Craig?
Good, buddy. How you doing?
Pretty good, pretty good.
Two of my best buds. So,
Nice.
and this is what my this is my fifth time on the show, right?
Yeah, I think probably.
Yeah, you qualify for the gold membership.
I've never been on his
Yeah, you're in the
podcast.
Five Timers Club
God damn, I
now.
talk about your podcast all the time. You won't effing invite me. And then you invite me to embarrass me.
Yeah,
Yeah,
he's got
that's what
quality
it
standards, Craig. Quality.
Yeah.
It's not because you're a busy man who's
It's like,
recording pods with like everyone.
What
On the
slight
planet.
can I give Shipman and then invite him to?
Yeah.
So you've been playing a bunch of D&D, right, Craig?
Role
More,
playing, not
yeah.
D&D, but
All
role
right, role
playing. Yeah, I've
playing.
been doing that. Been doing Marvel Crisis Protocol, recording Malifaux episodes. But yeah, I mean, I don't mind playing role playing online. But I just can't get into playing miniature games online. I've tried it with MCP. I've tried it with Malifaux. It just I need my models. I need a table. I need terrain that's not 2D, you know. But the role playing stuff has translated great. So that's taken up most of my year, is rediscovering that love.
Yeah, I think everyone's had to sort of if Malifaux was your main hobby, sort of put something else in the foreground. With me, it's been video games, but
Yep.
I feel like those are completely different muscles for me. So I would be
They are.
curious to know if like role playing makes you want to play Malifaux more, or maybe less, or you feel like,
No, it's two different animals. It really is.
yeah.
I mean, it all gets lumped in together as tabletop gaming, but no, role playing is very, very different. And I didn't realize how much I'd missed it because I hadn't. I'd gone like 20 years without doing it, and it's been really nice to come back to. I forgot how much I loved it, but no, it doesn't replace miniature gaming. Miniature gaming is still awesome, and I just can't wait to get back doing it again. We're going to Dave's coming out here in less than 2 weeks. We're doing our COVID safe camping for gamers spring trip, and we're going to get do a little bit miniature gaming. Got about 10 people
Nice.
come in, and then we're going to at night we do a little bit of role playing, and we eat a lot of meat, and we drink some beers, and we fart and tell bad jokes, and we have a good time. Yeah. But so that'll allow me to get my miniature games back, which I'm psyched about.
It's so basically a podcast without recording.
Exactly.
Farting, hanging out, drinking beer.
That's fun.
Well, farting, you know, whatever.
Nice. All right, so today we're talking Tilt. So I think the first place to start is to discuss, like, what it is. Because I think it's like, you know, one of those things like porn or whatever, where you know what it is when someone says it, or, you know, you recognize it by just sort of some instinctual level, but it's not something that you could define very easily. So let's try to do the hardest part first and sort of define it. So like when I mentioned Tilt to you, Dave, what do you think?
So it's an emotional state, I guess, primarily. And I'll try to go with Richard Dawkins' style of defining things, because I think he does a super good job. It's one of his best writing techniques. So what it is for me is an emotional state that is affecting you and changing your thinking in a negative way, typically. But you could tilt happily, just no one ever does, right? Like, you could be overly happy with doing something and tilt and make bad decisions. It's just non-rational thinking, maybe is the best way. It isn't like complaining about a model or like or reading anything that's based on rules, things like a real rule in the game isn't a tilt. Tilt is decision making change because of an emotional state.
That's a good point, because it is, because the word tilt refers to you, because you're off center. It's not related to something external. It is about you. So in that extent, it is like, it's the emotional response, but like, you know, I mean, if you're like, with all mental illness, or this is an illness, obviously, but with like sort of mental sort of characteristics, if it isn't negatively impacting you, then it isn't that. You know what I'm saying?
Right, right. Tilt has a specifically negative connotation.
Yeah, like, I don't think it's tilt unless it's impacting you, right?
Well, I don't know if I agree with that, but okay.
Well, elaborate. Let me hear.
Well, I don't think it has anything to do with results. I mean, I come from where I first heard the term is when I played poker a lot. I was a couple jobs ago. I used to travel every week, and probably was in Vegas 5-6 times a year. And I would always extend those trips, right? So I'd be there for 2 days, but stay for 5. And I got really into playing poker, played a lot of freaking poker. And that's where I know the term from. And a guy can be on tilt and win in poker. And I think you can be on tilt and win in Malifaux, or any tabletop game. But for me, and I'm not going to be quite as scientific of an approach as Dave. For me, tilt is when you stop making decisions. Let me think about this a little bit. You stop making decisions you can justify and explain. Right. So, and a lot, like in poker, typically the way, maybe this is the way to attack it. In poker, tilt is when you are trying to force results and feel that you deserve the result. Right. So you had 5 bad flips, right? Guy hit a flush on the river. You know, you were 3-1 to win on the river, and your opponent beat you. Then he beat you again. You know, bluffs you and shows it to you. All of those things put you on tilt. And now you get in your head that I now deserve things to go my way. So I'm going to press it. I'm going to push it. I'm going to raise when I should have folded. I'm going to go all in when I shouldn't have even seen the flop, because I deserve this. I am due, and the world owes me. And I think that translates to tabletop tilt. I think in tabletop tilt, you were talking about Sheamus, Dave. Mm-hmm. You know, tilt happens to me with Sheamus, because there is no bigger black joker magnet for me than Sheamus. And, you know, because of his limit 1 per activation, I will black joker that thing with that gun. And, you know, it can F up everything, because that's what Sheamus does, right? And you just lost your master, you know, all your master AP with 1 flip. And so what'll happen is go, well, you know what? You know, I was winning this game. and now I'm going to lose this game, but I deserve to win this game because I was coming. I had the perfect plan. I was going into this right, and I just got unlucky. So I'm going to go ahead and take an extra risky play and hope that I flip high because I deserve it. And that's not necessarily the conscious thought process, but I think that's the subconscious thought process behind tilt, at least for me. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I think that entitlement sort of affect
is a good way to put it.
Probably the most common form of tilt you see in like video games too. Because yeah. I know in like especially like FPS games, like if you lose an aim duel to like a guy three times in a row, you're like, I deserve to click your head better. Like I'm clicking too. Yeah. Like all we're doing is clicking and you're clicking better. Like what is going on? I deserve to kill you this time. Like what is going on? And you're just sort of like doubling down and making those incorrect decisions. So yeah, I think it is. So hearing like multiple sort of places where tilt is coming from, the common thing I'm hearing is decision-making.
No question.
I think so. I have two kind of qualifiers that way I think of tilt is one, it can happen because good things happened, right? So take poker just because it's easy, right? You won a stupid hand you shouldn't have won, right? You got, you know, the river saved your life. And then you're like, Lady Luck is with me. We're going for all the dumb stuff because I'm like, the gods have aligned and that's still tilt. I think you could classify that as tilt because it's in the way we're defining tilt, your decision making has been modified into logical ways because of emotional change.
Yep.
And the second thing that I wanted to point out, or the one I think about it, is that it's not some magic level, right? It's not like a 0-1 step function change. It is a gray area that moves. Yeah, exactly. And so I think sometimes people are like, well, they use tilted. Like, but how much matters? And as we talk about like getting better at not tilting and what does it do? It's a skill, right? And then you don't go from zero, no tilt at all. No one doesn't tilt, right? Even the most robo human in the history of ever has tilts a little. It's just, if you get past enough times, enough things, right? Then that's when it starts affecting the outcome at the end of the game.
Yep.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. And I think that's a good point, in thinking about Malifaux too, because, you were thinking about sort of, you know, making the incorrect decision, even if you kind of understood what the perfect decision would be. And the problem with Malifaux is there aren't a lot of objectively correct decisions to make, you know, based off of the fact that there's, you know, sort of squishy movement all over the board and like, you know, being, you know, a quarter of an inch behind this box versus a quarter inch in front of it so that your charge is more open. Like, all of that stuff is not objective. So it makes it even harder to tell when you're slightly on that gradient, like you're saying, because you're like, maybe I'm just being a little aggro, you know?
Yeah. So
I think it even comes even more tricky in Malifaux because you're like, well, that was obviously the wrong decision. You kind of have to reach that point where it's like, well, that was obviously the wrong decision. Like,
right.
Why did that happen?
Right. So when you analyze a game later, you can't, A, remember every decision you made, and B, it's a series of decisions leading somewhere, right? So like you boil it down to like the three learning points or whatever, right? But because you can't learn the 50,000 moves that happened.
And the other part of it too, and tell me what you guys think about this, is it also skews your perception. So when I go on tilt, my perception of everything that's happening gets skewed all to hell. So if I'm on tilt, every flip, my opponent's getting lucky.
Yeah.
Like it's, oh, of course you hit medium damage. Of course you did. Right. Oh, of course that's the red joker. Whereas if I was not on tilt, I'd be like, oh, you know, okay. Yeah. I mean, he's due, you know, that's how it works. Sometimes you flip two severes on a negative. That's what happens sometimes. And,
right.
You know, and there is a red joker in the deck. Spoiler alert, you know, but if I'm on tilt, then it's like, you know, the fates are against me. So I think that's
another aspect if you ever say sure dude, you're on tilt.
Yeah, like, sure dude.
Those
good.
Last three attacks of the turn, where you're like, he's like, okay, so I'm at six. He's gonna attack you. I guess I'm six. I'm at 16. And you're like, sure dude. Okay.
mine's a of course. Of course. Yes.
Yeah.
I go with the hard okay. Like, okay.
I've heard that okay.
Yeah, you're like, or whatever. Yeah, it's the hard, like, it's sure, dude.
Yeah, sure, dude.
So that's one of the things, getting past like definition of tilt, is like one of the things that I think you have to learn about yourself are the signs of tilt, right? So, because you can't fix it without knowing it happens, right? So, signs of tilt are sure, dude, right? Or my breathing gets shallow, or, you know, like a driving tilt moment. Like for me is when I think every other driver is acting like an idiot. By the third time, I'm like, why is that driver being an asshole? And I'm like, oh, well, it's got to be you, right? You're not every driver.
You're the constant.
Yeah, right? Like, exactly. Like, who, like, slow down.
Traffic's
like,
changing. I'm the constant.
Like, you're rushing it, right? You're out of pace with the traffic, right? And I'm the constant. So if it's the third time, you know, maybe it's the third time that you see, like, in your head, you think they hit mod on double neg or something. You're like, well, did they really, or are you doing the, like, I want to buy a Jeep, so now I see Jeeps everywhere? I know that's a real psychological concept. I don't know what the name of it is, but like when you want something, you notice it.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah, I think we could kind of sort of think about, in terms of thinking about like what makes us go on tilt, I think it could be good to think about maybe stories where, we go on tilt the most. And I had a tilt related question from Nathan in Maryland on the Swamp Fiends Discord that I was going to play at this point, but we were having technical difficulties. But he was asking, what is the time that you have gone on tilt the most in any sort of gaming situation? So I want to ask you guys that.
We're all thinking.
Could be tabletop.
Mine probably was Nova top table round 5. So this was the last, this was the Nova in M3E. So not the, was it? Yeah, it was Nova. Yeah.
It was 2. It was the last one in 2.
It was the last 2. Right. It was the last tournament in 2. And, interest had kind of waned because everybody was beta testing 3. So it was real low attendance, like a third of what we had the previous year, which helped me considerably. But I ended up on top table against Travis Wayforth round 5. I had just a really good run, and I had got it into my idiot head that shit, you know, I might pull this off. You know, maybe I'm not as bad as I think I am. And it was Sheamus against, oh, what was Wayforth playing? He was playing the Vix, I think. It was Outcast, but I can't remember who it was. And I was playing Sheamus and overthought everything before the match. And pretty much was in a position by the end of turn 2 where I had no meaningful activations. Like, he had pretty much controlled the entire game to the point where there was just nothing meaningful I could do. Like, I was walking twice with Sheamus and stuff. It was really depressing. And what had happened in the course of 25 minutes, I went from, holy shit, I'm at top table at Nova, to I am going to get embarrassed. Like, this is going to be embarrassing when this is over. Like, I'm going to get 10-0'd, and even worse, it's going to be to Wayforth, who's never going to let me forget it. And like it tilted me. But what's funny about it is that it was a quiet tilt. It was a resigned tilt, right? It was, yeah, all right, yep, all right, your turn. Yep, I'm done, your turn. There was that tilt, right? As opposed to the blow up tilt. And it was crushing. But, when I tilt, that tends to be where I tilt. I tilt in that direction. I don't lose my shit at the table. I never really have. So it was the same thing when I was playing poker. I never lost my shit at the poker table either. But I'll get real freaking quiet, real freaking fast.
So what do you think was the, like, emotions behind that? Was it the stakes that made you make bad decisions or helped contributed to bad decisions?
I mean, all those are contributors. For me, it's pretty simple. It's when I come in with expectations that are deserved or undeserved, or justifiable or unjustifiable. It doesn't matter. They're expectations. I have expectations, and they just get fucking crushed. Right. And it could be macro or micro. Right. So that was a macro one where I really thought I was going to, and I didn't necessarily think I was going to beat Travis, but I thought I was going to come out of this losing to Travis by a point. And that was gonna be a big deal for me. I was going to get third place at Nova, playing top table, losing to Travis Wayforth by a point. I had written the story down. Right. And it was obvious that wasn't going to happen. But it can happen in micro things too. Like, on my, live stream with when I was playing Karis against Jim, and you know, we stocked the stove turn one when I messed up the passing the lodestone, when I misinterpreted how that was done and effed that up, because it means that I completely effed up my deployment, right? So like literally halfway through turn one, I'd realized that I didn't understand how lodestone worked, because it was the first time I ever played the strategy, and realized that my entire strategy was effed now and my entire deployment was against me. And I was like, okay. So that was that's us putting the wood in the fire. And then I had, you know, a bad flip. And then that was the whoop, there's the match. Boom, bonfire, you know? But it's the same thing, to answer your question, Cody. It's having expectations and then just getting slapped in the face.
Yeah, I think expectations would be part of my general summary as well, because it's definitely, I think in terms of why I like games like this is because I like to try out my, you know, I spend as much time playing outside of the actual game as I do playing the game. So when I come into the game with some sort of idea that I think is cool or interesting, and then it just immediately gets exploded, yeah, then that's probably when I'm going to be tilted. And it is usually more resigned, like you said, where it's like, yeah, okay, you know, can I surrender? Is that okay? Like, you know, kind of thing. Yeah. How about you, Dave? What's your biggest tilt?
I don't. So I guess that's part of my learning about tilt as I'm getting better about it. It's like, I didn't realize I tilted as hard as I do earlier in my wargaming career. Like, I didn't realize I got so angry, like until you could like see people's faces, like when they're like, you're angry, and I'm like concerned. And you're like, I didn't realize I was that angry. I'm sorry. Like, we're playing a game.
You have definitely screamed next to me in War Machine tournaments before.
Yeah, yeah, right. So I think it's War Machine, probably. Yeah. I think it was a team tournament where I got assassinated because I didn't understand how hills work, and General Osram, like, was ludicrous, and I was like a quarter inch away from being behind my guy. So I couldn't see me, and then I lost it for my team because I got murdered because I mispositioned something by a tiny fraction of an inch, and I didn't understand something, and the guy looked like I had murdered his baby, because I was just like, I went through the range, right? I was like, did the hard, loud what? You know, like the whole like convention looks at you like, what just happened? And then I did like the quick all the way through the like acceptance, and then the fine. Okay. Yeah. No, you're fine. Go do it. Roll it. No, we have to roll it. Roll it. You know, like that whole, that, you know, like that, like the game has to end. We have to play it out. You know what I mean?
Like, so I realize not everybody listening has ever like played with Dave. Like, both Cody and I are like, we know exactly this Dave.
Yeah.
We've seen this Dave in person.
Yeah. Yeah. My most malfo tilt is, I would think, was at the Charlotte store, when Jesse obeyed. No, yeah. When Jesse obeyed something, obey is like my bane. I hate obey, right? Because it hits all the points of like what tells me. But like, he did something, and I like yelled. I turned around and like, I think I hit the wall twice, and I turned around and like, I played the game. Ooh, but like, but like, I was really loud. But like, I don't know if that's tilt, because then I played the game. Like, mm-hmm. I took a break. I was loud and obnoxious, which is not cool, but like I was. And but then I played the game in a reasonable way, right? It didn't really affect my decision making. So I have I'm pretty good at like getting really angry and emotional and then resetting and coming back and like doing, making decent decisions, despite the fact that I'm emotional, right? Is like, there's a reset and it's loud and obnoxious, but it's okay. So I would say that maybe like that wasn't tilt, right? Because I didn't make any decisions. My decision was made in our definition of tilt that time at the War Machine tournament. So I think the actual most tilted time I've ever been was top table for playing for first place of a 60-man, 70-man tournament of War Machine. And I'm on top table last round. I win the game. I win. I'm favored in the matchup. And my, you won't understand this, Craig, but my Warpwolf Stalker with Primal on it did literally 3 damage to a Juggernaut. And with all Fury, with all of it. Like, which is like the equivalent of I don't know, the Vix missing, all both Vix missing every attack. Like something along those lines, right? It's horrible. And I made a series of bad decisions. I could have just keep making good decisions and won the game, but I didn't. I was then like, well, my Totem Hunter is going to have to go kill this one guy because obviously the dice hate me. Like that, you know, that kind of like bad decision. Oh, I'm going to go have to do this. Now I have to take this risk and do this other dumb stuff, and lost that game. And it sucked because it was like the best I would have ever, still the best I ever placed was second in a 70-man tournament. But like, you know, winning a 70-man tournament is well beyond my skill level, right? Like that's what would have been the biggest feather in my cap. So I think that was the actual tilt in decision making tilt rather than loud emotional response. Yeah. And as we've defined them, that's not the same tilt.
You've come a long way though, man, because like I remember the fall camping trip. You had a bad series of rolls and situations at we were playing MCP. Mm-hmm. And you came over to me because I wasn't playing. You were playing somebody else. You came over to me and you said, I know I just need to get this out. And you just vomited the entire sequence on me.
Oh. And then you literally vomited.
Like, and then you were fine. Like you were just like, and this, and then this, and then he rolled this, and then I couldn't roll that, and then that. And then you were like, and then you went right back and played. But like I think you have recognized that you just need to get the poison out. And then you seem to be okay after that now, which was not the case 2-3 years ago for you.
No, I recover pretty okay now, thankfully. And it's less now. So one of the things about like what tilts you, right? And you were saying this too, Craig, it's not the one thing that tilts me, right? Like, so the number of bad things that get you on tilt, right? That beat your expectation. Right. So like if dice games, you're like, oh, I'm going to roll average. Well, that's not how probabilities work. That's not even close to accurate. But in your head, you're like, I'm going to roll 7 on 2d6. That's average. I hit that every time. And that's not true. And so like I learned like, okay, that's not true. But then I roll a 3, right? Once. Fine. It's normal. I roll 3 twice. Fine. It's normal. But I won't roll any more 3s because that's not normal. But that's still completely legitimate for dice to do, right? Any mathematician can break that down. But for me, then like I get, it's not the 1 or 2 that like starts the pull towards the tilt, right? It's the 6 in a row, right? Yeah. In the MCP game, it was like literally 6 rolls in a row that made no sense.
Well, and it was your first time going up against MODOK, which really was tilting too.
Yeah, and I ran right into him incorrectly.
But to the point that I think all three of us are making, it was straw, and then just break, you know?
Yeah,
water in the dam.
It will probably come to no surprise to you, Dave, but I've definitely talked to people after they played you, you know, especially in like the War Machine community, and they'd be like, I think that Dave guy was like really mad at me. You know? And like what I tell people always was like, Dave gets mad at himself.
Yeah.
Like that's what it is. True. So like he's like a bit of a perfectionist, and he'll like move something incorrectly on turn 2 or something, and he'll, you know, get mad at himself the entire time and sort of keep beating himself up about that. But he's not like mad at you, you know what I mean? Which is definitely a different sort of animal. And I think you're definitely good at managing that. You're kind of like the Hulk in that you're always sort of irritated at yourself.
I'm always angry.
Yeah, that's true. I have the therapist pills to prove it. So, you know, it's... No, but that's 100% that is. It's why obey pisses me off so much is because I didn't understand what it did, right? And then when I thought I understood what it did and I still handled it wrong, then like that anger at yourself just
right.
pushes it, right? And then you're like, well, I have expectations. All the expectations are subverted, and I didn't know what was going to happen. And then you feel like taken advantage of, you know. And there's an emotional component, obviously, that like hits me in a couple
well,
spots.
Then there's the dog pile too of like, I think I'm better than this. That's the other piece of the expectation too, right? So I run Captain America up into MODOK like a dumbass. And, you know, Craig told me what MODOK did before the game, yep. But this, I'd made that move anyway. And, you know, now I'm paying for it. And God damn it. That was dumb. And I'm better at mini games than this. And I'm doing your internal dialogue because that's what happens in my head. Right.
Yeah.
So I'll do that. I'm like, what the hell was I doing? Like, yeah. I'm not this bad.
Right. Mm-hmm. And in your head, you're like, you know, Captain America is going to kick ass. He's Captain America. Right. Yeah, like, so exactly. Like, it's, yeah. You know, it's all the straws, right. It's, and then the dice, yep. and when you break it down, which is one of the solves I've developed for Tilt, is knowledge. So when you break it down and look at the dice and think about what the stats actually are, you're like, oh, all right. Duh. Big Brain Brin has cleaned this dude's deck. No wonder he's flipping mod after mod after mod on negs, because he only has moderates left in here. Like, I've seen a half of his deck. I've seen 20, whatever. I've seen a bunch of weeks. He just cleaned out 10 cards. Of course he has mods, right? Like, and that knowledge makes me not angry at what the first time it happened. I was like, the hell, that's the fourth time you just flipped a mod on a neg on Tony. What the hell? Like, what? And, but now the afterwards, right? I'm like, okay, that's the way the crew works, right? Where like Ma cleans cards, right? She does a lot of like draw two, discard one, draw card, discard, draw two, discard one, draw two, discard one. Magically I have good cards in my hand, right? Like, it's those kind of knowledge builds. Help the expectations. It helps the, this isn't undue, right? This isn't weird or undue. It is, I get to make better decisions up front. There's a lot of ego built into the, like, I have a lot of ego built into being smart and like good at this stuff, right? So it's, I get to make better decisions, and the perfectionist, like, I can move around or make better choices. All like those things all like kind of build up. And so knowledge about, what does MODOK actually do, right? Turns out slamming your face into him, you know, piecemeal, right? Like, slamming, everyone miniature game has a model that you run your face right into it, right? And it hurts. And it's really good at whatever it's doing. And you slam your face right into its thing, and then you get your ass whooped. So I did that, and then you learn.
Yep. How about you? How far are we off on your thoughts there? I feel like me and David done all the talking. It's your podcast.
Yeah. So let me tell my Tilt story, and then I'll wrap back to, because I think mine sort of feeds into something Dave is talking about, where if you think about what you're actually upset about and like extract it to higher mm-hmm. levels, then you get to a thought that is more workable. So I guess in terms of tabletop, the most I've ever tilted was probably at semifinals for Crucible. I went for an assassination run, and this was before pre-measurement, and I was ruled out after I moved the model in a really scuffed way, like where stuff got bumped and all that kind of shit. So I just surrendered right then. You know, I was like, I'm done. So that, you know, I definitely did one of those sort of like tap out sort of tilt things where I was like, I just don't want to play anymore. And I should have gave the guy room to also make other mistakes and played mm-hmm. it out, especially because it was like the last last round of the day. So like a bunch of people were watching and they were streaming and stuff like that. It was kind of just a dick move. The most tilted I've ever got at gaming is pretty embarrassing, though. So I was playing WoW in Wrath of the Lich King era. I was doing threes. I was playing a hunter. I'm actually going to talk about details because I'm sure everyone's played WoW. I was playing a hunter with a Disc Priest and a Rhett Pally. And that is a very difficult to execute comp because like all of our crowd control is based off like RNG and certain things. And I was playing with two players who were like fucking phenomenal, like the best priest I've ever played with, the best pally I've ever played with. And this was at a time when Caveman Cleave was the fucking meta. And what Caveman Cleave was exactly what it sounds like. It's pally warrior DK, and they run at your face, and they throw their cat on the keyboard, and he presses enough buttons until they win. And our comp was like especially bad at that. Like, so, and we played one day, we played like 30 games, you know, like we're going to rank up. We're going to do, you know, we're going to grind it out today.
PvP?
Yeah. Yeah. 3v3 arenas. Sorry.
Got it.
We're going to grind it out all day. And we just kept running into K-Man Cleave. And like, you know, it's really hard from the hunter perspective because like I would hit them with the only hard crowd control we have has an RNG element where they would move randomly and then you would have to throw a trap under their feet. So like after we've been playing multiple day, we've been, you know, like on like the eighth time we lose to fucking Caveman because this scatter shot made him go this way instead of that way. You know, we're all screaming. We're like over it. We're like, all right, guys, we just got to stop because we're only doing worse. Like each game we're getting progressively worse. And I lived in the boondocks. I'm like a teenager. I'm like 16, you know? So we lived in the middle of nowhere. So I go outside and there's a broom that I used to sweep off this ramp I had. And I just start beating the shit out of this tree with the broom. So that was my embarrassing, most tilted moment. And
so here's something that's interesting. It just popped in my head. In poker, I would have directed tilt. Like I would fucking ID somebody and you are going to be the source.
Yeah.
Or not the source. You're going to be the target of my rage.
Mm-hmm.
But what's interesting that I'm sitting here, hear the stories and stuff like that. And what made me think of this is like with my kid, like I don't get, when I get tilted with my kid, it's not at the kid. Like I don't get tilted. I get tilted at myself. And that's the same thing in mini games. I get tilted internally. And just get mad at myself and frustrated with myself. But for whatever reason in poker, that wasn't the case. I would just get pissed at the other guy. I don't know why that's the case, but, but that sounds like you, Dave, right? Like you just internalize your tilt, right?
Yeah. And I do, I like bust out every mean thing I can think of. Like, and not like, I mean, more generally in life situations, but in like a game, I'll then think of like the six other things that game that I should have done better that I've already identified thought through. Yourself. Right. And then of course, I lead you down further in the hole.
But I think, so I'm also reminded of like a times I've gotten mad at like Guild Ball. And I think that sort of parlays into a thing I think about in terms of resolving tilt, you know, with dealing with like anger and sort of things. So like the most tilted I ever got at Guild Ball was like near the end of the times I was playing it. Like I would get really tilted near the end because it felt like I just had to like, one of us had to make a mistake for the fucking game to end. Like things were going too long, you know, because it was like after work, I worked till 5. I drove an hour over to Game Theory, playing a game. We're 2.5 hours into a soccer game. And yeah. The only way this is going to end is one of us has to just decide to like let the other one kill a model because like, you know, we both can kill the ball right and we could both can not, you know, heal our models and obviously not do stupid stuff because we played this game a bunch.
Gee, I wonder where Guild Ball failed.
Yeah, right. And that I used to get so angry. I would like leave there and I'm like, I'm never fucking coming back here again. I just wasted so. This was my day. I worked all day and then I came here and this was my day. And then when I think about that, so I'm mad at that, but if I take it like one level up, and I think this is a way to like really think about dealing with tilt, is like if you just extract where your emotions are coming from up one or more levels, then it makes them easier to cope with. So in that situation, like I'm mad at Guild Ball because we can't finish the game. But if I take it one order higher, it's like, well, I'm mad because I'm out of time. This took too much time. And, you know, so if I take it another level up, it's like, okay, well, I'm mad because work was shitty all day. You know, like it was a grindstone kind of day, you know, and then this was stealing time from me, you know. So right. I think sometimes when you're having these affective responses, if you think about it on one or more levels higher, then you can be like, well, am I really mad about, I mean, I shouldn't be mad, you know, because this is just what it is, you know. Does that relate to you guys?
Yeah, it does. In fact, it reminds me of something. I think it's a really important thing, and it's an important thing for people who go on tilt and an important thing for people that see tilt. is when tilt is happening, there's only one person has the bucket of water, and it ain't you. It's the person on tilt. In fact, if you think you're pouring water on a person with tilt, all you're doing is pouring gasoline. The worst thing you can do with somebody on tilt is go, dude, it's okay, relax, it's okay. Like, that's just gasoline. That's all that is. Like, all you're doing is you're just going to make it worse. So it has to be self-managed. It has to be. And I don't know if you can manage it mid-tilt. So I think you have to learn to manage it pre-tilt. You have to learn how to catch it before it gets there. Because once it's there, I don't know if you can break it. I don't know if you can stop it. It's either going to go out by itself, or it's just got to run its course. But what you have to do is you have to not let yourself get there. That's my thought.
Yeah, I agree with that. It's a heck of a lot easier to stop the dam from breaking than try to put all the water back as the dam's already broke, right?
Yeah.
So I had two thoughts about like your story about at the end of your workday. Is one, tilt is your emotions are affected by a bunch of stuff, right? So like kid tilt and work tilt, and like you're tired if you're drinking, right? If you're had a crap day at work or a fight with your, I don't know, wife or your, you know, whatever, like that's that sets you up badly. And then I think in extra is like on your example of the long day at work, Cody, is this is your fun, right? You want to get there. You want it to be fun. You're going to like, you've been thinking about it all day. You've been thinking about it all week. This is your game day. It's going to be great. You love it. Like, this is the thing you love that you spend your time thinking about, that you're going to go have fun and enjoy. And then like you get crap dice. You get the model that you just painted that you think will work some way doesn't, right? And so you've got all that built in stuff that is adding weight to the fuel to the fire, right? And so I think managing all of that thing, all of those things, is something you're doing before you even before you even get to the table, right? Is not, you know, Seamus is going to one shot this guy. Seamus and I are clearly meant to hang out together because I whispered the red Joker my first activation, right? Like, obviously. But, you know, like if I play the first thing that I planned it all out, I have this great idea. I misposition something and I unpack wrong, right? Like my whole week of thinking about this is blown up. And so you have that buildup. And like, I mean, I know that I'd have a beer when I was playing, you know, a game or like at the Atomic Empire, right? Like you'd have a couple beers. And then by the end of the tournament, round three, you're tired. You've had a couple beers. Something bad happens and all of a sudden you're toast, right? Like that kind of buildup really affects tilt for me, at least.
Well, my Travis story I told, if we had not had lunch break before that game, I don't think I would have tilted. I had time to think about it. Mm-hmm. Like if I had gone right from round four to round five, I don't think I would have tilted. But I had I had an hour and I didn't go get lunch. I just sat there and built my list and built my expectations and constructed and ran the game in my head 15 different times.
Oh. Yeah. I think the anger version of tilt is pretty common, and it sounds like we all experience it at some version. I think the version that actually gets me the most and causes me to make the most incorrect decisions, maybe something that you guys haven't experienced, it may be, but maybe some other people who are listening to this have, is I feel like I get anxiety-based tilt.
I'm so lucky. I don't suffer from anxiety in any form. I'm so lucky.
Yeah, you're lucky. Lucky. I'm like way more likely to lose in round one. And I think a lot of that reason is I think I do get sort of like an anxious level of tilt where it's like, you know, like I have an anxious stomach. So like, I'll be like, I have to be like very formulaic getting to a tournament. It's like, okay, I'm going to stop 45 minutes before I get there. I'm going to take my morning deuce, you know, like I'm going to eat exactly this before that. And when things get off kilter, I can feel not right. And I think that makes me tilted in certain ways too. Like I was in one 70 person war machine tournament and I just, every one of my rounds went to time. Mm. And like, I didn't get to eat at all day. It was a 6-round day. So like, you know, by round 4 or 5, it's like, I just don't feel like, obviously I'm hungry, but the more I think about like, oh, I just don't feel right. I feel like that leads to some version of like making incorrect decisions where you're just like, I don't know, something's wrong.
How does that anxiety manifest itself, Cody? Like, I know how the anger manifests itself. You just watch Dave play, but how does the anxiety manifest itself?
Well, when I get like actually anxious, my nose itches and I can't stop scratching it. Like, if you're talking like actual anxiety, like in terms of like the physical manifestations, and that's what it is usually, is like with most people, it's like you think something about your body and then you can't stop fixating on that. Huh. So like, I do feel like sometimes, like I stim at the table, right? Where I'll either be like shifting back and forth or I'll be like pulling. I wear a hat every time I play because I like to pull it. Because I just like to pull it. It's just something to do with my hands. And I think that sometimes if people are dealing with anxiety, they could be like, you know, just sort of fixating on something that's probably messing with decision making, right? Like I think for me it is something where it's like I have to piss. That's all I can think about, is that I have to piss really fucking bad. Like, you know, so that all of my decisions are based on that. It's like, hurry up, dude. I gotta go piss.
And anxiety can come out as anger too. Like when you're trying to, cause you feel like a lack of control or whatever. And one of the quickest ways to feel an adrenaline jump in your bloodstream is to get angry. Like it dumps brain chemicals and do that usually settle out anxiety. So, it can be a symptom.
So I disagree a little bit that you can't manage tilt when it's happening. I do think there are a few things that have helped me in the past. Just in general, at least with anger, and then so I mean I'm making a leap to sort of assume that it helps with like decision making at the table, but like with most affective responses, a thing that can help people is recognition, right?
Yes.
In all of the research on mindfulness and stuff, the number one thing that leads to the positive outcomes and stuff like that is that you recognize your thoughts. You think about what you're thinking about, and that helps you be more in the moment and can help with all kinds of, you know, aggression and all kinds of sort of antisocial sort of behaviors. So in that way, I do think that that can be helpful with managing tilt. Just understanding why you're angry can help, I think. And like the core technique of mindfulness, if you're not like a practicer or anything like that, is taking 3 mindful breaths, which is basically, you know, 3 deep breaths, recognizing that you're off center, you are tilted, and trying to find, you know, that center again. So I guess if you really struggle, if a person is listening and they really struggle with it, then look into, you know, some simple mindfulness training, because I think it could.
So another way that is similar to mindfulness, the same kind of thing, is removing yourself to a outside perspective, because I think. From my view, what Craig is saying, like once the bull is loose, right? Once the anger is out, like you can steer it maybe, but like that bull's charging until it's tired.
Exactly.
Right. It's gone. But, and I found the opposite of success when I try to hold it down, right? When I try to like just hold it back. So maybe even if I hold it back for a little bit, right? So take something bad, like dice rolls are bad, right? And I get 1 or 2, like that anger is there, but I've got to like held, right? Like I'm holding it. But like that makes it, when it does bust, which it never inevitably will, when the next dice roll goes bad,
you're begging for
then
it,
it's stronger, then it's angrier, right? It's revved up. So I kind of get what Craig is saying. I've experienced that where it's like once the dam is broken, the dam is broken, right? And then like you just got to let it run its course a little bit. Because for me, stopping it at that point it puts me even more on tilt, because then that anger is contained and like it's ripping my brain apart, right? It's like my decision-making capabilities are shit. So in a different thing that I've been working on that's worked pretty well for me is removing yourself from separating your brain function from your anger or your emotions, which is similar to what mindfulness does, right? Is it gives you an outside perspective, right? It brings you to like recognition of where you are. And so that's one thing is when you do feel the anger, when you like notice the trigger sign, you can be like, it's fun to like imagine yourself as like outside your brain, right? And then you are looking at yourself angry and immediately it's not, you're not angry because you recognize that you are angry. And it flows quicker, or you can modify your behavior more easily because now the same brain functions that are getting angry aren't clouded. You have to actually talk to a real person that studies this stuff to like understand the functioning. But for me, it's been an effective technique when I can successfully use it. And like any skill, it takes time to master and improve. But I think that's the same idea as mindfulness. Breathing is a good way to trigger that, right? So if you want to get to that state through breathing, mindfulness as a breathing technique is the way that you get there. That's great. If you can imagine it that way, it's great. The same ideas apply. It's the getting perspective, moving yourself away from the idea. Does that make sense? Am I talking out of my nose?
No, it does, David. And it makes me think, so have you ever read any Glasser, Dave?
No.
William Glasser. So William Glasser put out a thing called Choice Theory. And he, his first book on it, absolutely phenomenal book. He, Seven Steps to Success it and put out 50 other books, and you don't need to read any of them because it's the same book written backwards and forwards. But it's called Choice Theory by William Glasser. And the concept of it is, and this was a game changer for me in every aspect of my life, not just playing games, is the concept of nobody can do anything to you because you control your reaction.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So, and it starts off with simple language, which is, here's a non-choice theory language, which is, you're making me so mad.
Yeah, you can't make me mad.
Right. Whereas choice theory says, no, I'm choosing to be mad by what you're doing. And it sounds really dopey and kind of sticky and stuff, but man, it was life-changing for me to acknowledge that. And that helps me. I mean, when the bull's out for me, to your point, Dave. But what helps me is like when I feel pressure coming at me, right? Like, and that's what can cause that tilt, right? And that pressure can be from somebody, the dice, the cards, your hand, Malifaux, going, how am I going to react to this? And stopping yourself and taking yourself out of it, to your point, Dave, and you mentioned this as well, Cody, taking yourself out of it and saying, no, I'm not, you know what? Now my reaction is going to be, I'm just going to have fun. Now I don't give a shit. And not in a tilt sort of way, right? Because you can get tilt like I don't care anymore, but to the point where, you know what? Okay, so now what was my expectation before is I was going to win this game and I was going to wipe the board because I've outmatched this person. To, you know what? Now I like playing miniature games and because it's fun for me. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to enjoy this, and that's going to be my choice. That's my response. I have control of my response. That's going to be my response, and that helps me a lot. That helps me considerably, but it doesn't help me if I've already jumped, I can't fly. Right. But yeah, it can stop me from jumping. Yeah. And it's empowering in its own weird way.
Yeah, very much. I've read the Viktor Frankl Search for Meaning. But he's got the same thing, right? There's a space between input and output that's your choice.
Yep.
And so there's a bunch of ways that you can make that space bigger. Right, that you can like gain time so that you can make a better choice, right? Because we all have habits, and if that space is small, we all run our habits, right? Same way, like someone scares you, you jump, right? It's just like, but you could train yourself to not jump or to like getting a fighting stance or whatever the new thing output you want is, but you can make that space bigger.
Yep. Yep. And acknowledge what the world's doing, right? I know what the world's doing. The world wants me to lose my shit right now, but I'm not gonna.
Yeah, I think the common thing in what we're saying is that perspective can't be given to you. You have to find it. And I think that's a personal journey, and that's the thing we're talking about here. Each of us sort of think about that personal journey in different ways. And just to reel it back to Malifaux a little bit, I think that's awesome. Yeah, well, I mean, it's a good conversation. I think that's also like, I mean, I think it's kind of topical to think about ways in which the way you perceive the game is directly related to your fun, and that is your choice. And because, like, we're living in a current time of people constantly blowing up the Discord complaining about Nexus. So, or explorers in general, you know, like the mechanical goat is OP, you know, it, just whatever model exists. I
can't believe the boost they're getting in the errata. Did you guys read the new errata?
I can't believe the whole faction's going to defense 8. That's wild.
It's crazy. Can you imagine that being choice. True? Just like April Fool's Day comes out, that's the errata like that they put out.
You can print the cards too.
Cadmus. Now you shift 2 wounds and they have armor 6. Yeah.
I'm being serious. Like, if you're pissed off about, like, I'll just use Nexus. If you're pissed off about that crew, I think it can be helpful for your enjoyment of the game to think about why, because you can easily just be like, oh well, Berserker Hearths are stat 6 on your melee weapon. Like, that's one higher than it should be, and that's like an overstat thing. And if you take that one higher level, it's like, what are you mad at? It's like, well, it's overstated, you know? Okay, that's fine. You know, that's a reason to be like, well, that needs to be addressed, right? You know, the Archivist shouldn't be Min 3. You know, that's an overstat thing. That's a thing that you could be pissed about. But you can also think about like, well, I don't like this mechanic. And then I think sometimes if you think about that at a higher level, it can be something that's copable, you know, in a way that will still have you, won't impact your enjoyment of the game. Like, I was thinking, I played a game against it last week where I was like, the thing that actually pisses me off is there's too much bookkeeping, you know? Like, when I think about it, it's like, at the surface level, it's like, well, he's healing that, and he's healing that, and he's healing, you know, all this stuff. But if I just take it a level higher, what's actually upsetting me is that it's taking more time out of my life again, which you're seeing a common thread here. It's like, well, that's what I'm actually pissed off about, is that there's an extra 30 to 40 minutes in this game where you're tracking conditions. That is just like, that fucking sucks, you know? But that's like a thing. I think if I think about that at that level, it's not like a thing that has any power over my enjoyment of the game. You know what I'm saying?
That's the key statement right there, Cody. That's the key statement right there. I mean, my hobbies are a big part of my life, right? I work as hard as I do so I can hobby as hard as I do. Right. But we're still pushing dolls around on a table.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, it's,
which somehow makes it harder sometimes, because like, why am I angry about this? I'm pushing dolls around on a table, but I'm angry. Like, I'm viscerally angry.
Mental illness, Dave. Right? Yeah, like, but no, it's right. But like, it's sometimes you have to stop yourself, though. You know, I had just recently a bad interview, and I think it's my first bad interview. And I don't know. It was the first time I finished an interview and walked away and went, something was off. For the first time in 100+ episodes, something was off. And I don't know if it was me or if it was the guest or what it was, but it lingered. It sat on me and I obsessed about it because I was trying to figure out, did I say something? Did I miss an opportunity to reset the interview? You know, like, and then finally I stopped and I went, what are you doing, Craig? Like, stop it. Like, it's a stupid podcast. Literally the worst case scenario is I don't release the damn episode. Who gives a shit? Nobody cares. And guess what? If I put out the interview, no one's going to hear what I heard. And I've had that happen too. Like, I've had interviews where I've gone downstairs afterwards and I said to my wife and she's like, are you okay? And I'm like, I had a bad interview. And then 2-3 weeks later I edited it and I'm like, shit, that was a pretty good interview. even I can't hear it. You know, I'm going way off topic here, but what it is stopping for a second and going, and this is what I had to do with this one, is I had to go, Craig, it's a stupid podcast. If I don't release it, I don't release it. If I edit it and it sounds good, I'll release it. And if, you know, like, stop it. This isn't my wife. This isn't my child. This isn't my family. This isn't my work. Like, this is, stop it. You're being, stop it. Don't let this happen. You know, David, you've I love that crate space concept. Yeah. I'm going to layer that onto my choice theory bullshit.
Yeah. I mean, it's hard work, but it's rewarding. Which one of the extra things I really like about gaming is it gives you a relatively safe space to do that work, right? Like, because I care about Malifaux and I care about gaming, and like that's where my friend groups mostly come from, right? Like, I spend a lot of time in Swamp Fiends Discord in COVID world as like a sense of community, right? And like, it matters. Like, it doesn't really matter if it should matter or not. It does. And so when I get angry, it tilted, right? Like those things, like that's, it's a relatively low cost space for me to like get better at it, right? So that, and when an asshole customer at work is being a jackass, I don't like pick up the phone and slam it down loudly shouting at them, right? Like that's a high cost space to have anger. Yeah. So I think that's one of the things I really like about gaming is it gives you, it's a real space to practice skills, right? Just like cubs, like children, animals playing together, learning skills.
Yep. That's the whole appeal to me too.
Yeah. The other thing I wanted to say, Cody, is a dude who was in the Discord came like swinging in during this, like one of the Cadmus rants. And he was like, I like to play this game because I like to problem solve. Like my joy is finding solutions to the problem. And I'm like, well, that's actually what I really like. That's like, that's what I really love doing, right? I get a lot of joy out of that. That's why I like my job. It's what I like doing. And so all of a sudden Cadmus wasn't like, why is this unfair? Why is this bullshit? Why is obey stupid? Why is whatever big brain Bryn the worst? Like now it was, all of a sudden it was like this magic light went off from what he said when I thought about it. Cause I was like, I thought about it and it was like, no, it's what I actually really like. And if I think about it as this way, this is suddenly great. Like this is suddenly a challenge. And now Cadmus is fun, right? Now it's not just like, this shit's OP. Why is this stat six? Why is this why? You're like, okay, well, this is, what can I do to work around it? What can I do to affect it, right? And that's locus of control, right? Like it's back into me, right? Because I like to find the solutions. But that's not really tilt. I guess that's salt. It does lead to tilt, but it's also salt, right? Like, okay, this is how it works. How do I solve it? Now I can solve it. It's not the world doing things to me. It is how can I solve it?
Yeah, I think to wrap it back around too, that is definitely, I completely relate to that. Like I've talked about before that like the whole reason I play these type of games is so I have some sort of immediate way to like some immediate gratification around improvement and stuff like that. But to also sort of wrap it back to tilt too, it's still okay to dislike stuff. I mean, yeah. Right? It's like, it's okay. I hate Pandora just because I think her design is annoying. I think status-based control is tedious. Like, and that's just my personality. Like I can just be like, well, I don't like that thing, you know?
Yeah.
And, but it doesn't hurt me. It doesn't hurt me, but yeah, I don't fucking like you. That could be part of the fun too. Just be like, I don't like that.
Sometimes bitching about shit is kind of fun.
Yeah.
As long as it doesn't rob the joy of gaming, right? Like if Cadmus is like, I'm up at 2 a.m. thinking about how terrible Cadmus design is and why the fuck is a Berserker Husk stat 6 and why is the Archivist blah, blah, blah. That's stealing the joy out of the game, right? As opposed to like Pandora's bullshit and you're laughing at your friend who plays Pandora, Pandora. Like... You hate Pandora, right? That's different. That's a you can hate Pandora or talk about how Candy's a devil child and not, obstruct your joy.
Yeah. So I guess do you guys have anything else to add? I think it was a pretty fruitful conversation.
No, my big takeaway, and I learned something from this, which is nice. My big takeaway is recognize it, understand it. Cut it off before it gets there. And keep perspective and manage your expectations. Those are my big takeaways.
Perfect.
And yeah, my big thing with all of my hobbies, and whether it be my podcasting, my miniature games, my role playing and stuff like that, is managing my expectations and remembering like this is what I do for fun. Mm-hmm. And when my fun stops being fun, then there's a problem and I need to fix it.
You couldn't be said better. So, if you're listening to this, you should be a Third Floor Wars Patreon subscriber. If you're not, you're not allowed to listen. So thanks, please turn this off and don't listen anymore. So I guess later, guys.